Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the ESP podcast, Experience Share podcast, formerly the SBC podcast, currently being rebranded. With us today is Melina Palmer. Melina is the founder and CEO of the Brainy Business, which provides behavioral economics consulting to businesses of all sizes from around the world. And also, she's an author, she's a podcaster. And she is involved with Inc. Magazine, many research institutes. And of course, later on, we'll share where you can find out more about her. But she has a lot going on, to say the least. But all good stuff, right, Melina?
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of fun.
So welcome to the podcast. I would like to start by asking you to tell us a little bit about behavioral economics and what that means.
Yes, absolutely. Love to start by telling people kind of about how the brain and how that all works. And so my background is in marketing and brand strategy. And then I got into behavioral economics 5 years ago or so, but where it's really the psychology of why people buy and understanding what's actually going on in the brain and being able to work with it instead of what we think people should do, which they often don't. And so by taking psychology and economics and neuroscience and all coming in together is where we get behavioral economics. I am an applied behavioral economist, and so helping people to actually use what's being found in some of those academic studies within businesses and to be able to apply the things that we now know about the brain so you can have better, more effective, more efficient pricing strategies, communications, marketing, messaging, branding, all of that is really what I do with my podcast, book, teaching, consulting, speaking stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So what happens in the brain? You mentioned what happens in the brain. What are some things that happen in the brain?
Lots of things. The most important of them being that if you were to think about what your brain does, you know, take a moment, listener right now, and say, what does my brain actually do? Anything that you could think of, anything that comes to mind when you're aware that you're thinking or you're thinking about thinking is stuff that's done in your conscious cognitive processing space. And we would like to think that that's where our brains spend most of their time. But in reality, and we know we've got the subconscious brain, it's doing something, but we don't really think about it too much. But studies have shown, and the highest I've seen put it at 99.999% of what your brain is doing at any given time is in that subconscious level. You know, the lowest studies putting it at 95%. And so to say the vast majority of what any brains are doing are in that subconscious space. And it's for efficiency purposes. We couldn't survive as a species if our brains were trying to do more cognitively. And so that subconscious acts as like a gatekeeper, or I like to say a receptionist if you're trying to get a meeting with a busy executive. It's scanning the world around you saying, this is normal. I know how to do something about that. I've got a rule for this. I know how to do that. Constantly churning. And then every so often you say, hey, that's weird. Conscious brain, come on in. You know, it's your turn to shine. But that happens a lot less than we would like to think. And so working with those rules of the subconscious is what I teach people to do. So they have an easier time of communicating on all levels.
Wow. So which one of them is the monkey brain?
Right. Yeah.
Or the lizard brain. I don't know.
Yeah. The lizard brain is in that subconscious space. It's very influenced by visuals versus language, our senses, and, you know, you smell cookies and you're wanting to buy them before you logically know that you're going to buy them, but your subconscious knows it's happening. Right. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that same way, like that you can smell something that'll take you back maybe to years or decades or something. It's amazing how all of that, how much information it is. I always like to remember that something that someone said before, like, because I write things down, I do a lot of these things just because trying to have the brain act both as the warehouse and the factory doesn't usually work. So it's like sometimes you just got to commit, you know, certain things to pen and paper or whatever, get them out of your brain and and so we can focus on other things. That being said, Melina, I know you have a book coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and how it ties to all of this and how it helps people make sense of this? And of course, how they can take action based on that.
Yeah, I would love to. The book is called What Your Customer Wants and Can't Tell You. And it's on sale pretty much everywhere now, you know, on pre-order, available in the US May 11th, and then around the world shortly after. And essentially, it really is a book that is helping people to apply behavioral economics into their businesses. And so within the field of behavioral economics, it's a very new field. And a lot of what is out book-wise, or even taking classes and things like that in the space, is very academic. And so it will say, even the mainstream books say, we did this research and we found out that people are loss averse. Isn't that cool? And people are influenced by numbers. Isn't that cool? But it doesn't then say, here's how you could do something about that.
How can you apply it, right?
Right. Yes. And so my book is really doing that and giving a hands-on guide. It's set up like a reference book of sorts to where, you know, it teaches about the brain to start. Then you've got this section with 16 of what I think are the top concepts for businesses to really know as you're jumping in to start applying behavioral economics. And at the end of each of those little chapters, you'll have where it'll say, hey, we were talking about framing here. And you'll see it come up again in these chapters in part 3. And then when you're reading in part 3, it says, hey, we talked about these concepts here. If you want to go back and get a refresher on what reciprocity is, or, you know, whatever that is, to help it be really, really applicable for people. And there will be a PDF workbook that is going to be a free download available when the book comes out in May that anybody can get as well, just to really be able to use the information. I want people to be able to successfully use and apply behavioral economics in their businesses.
Right. Well, congratulations on that, because I mean, it's like, I agree with you, because there's a lot of that theoretical stuff. And then what happens? Yes. Yeah. It sounds exciting. Sounds interesting. But for most of us that are either running companies or are trying to do things and trying to achieve results, it's important to learn to perform, not to learn to be entertained. Because a lot of times, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, but what are you going to do with it? And how are you going to apply it? And you mentioned some of the other concepts, which remind me a little bit of influence too, the science of influence and all of that. And you mentioned the ability to reciprocate and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about how the brain makes a decision and how, say, anybody who's trying to kind of achieve some kind of result or get even a point across or communicate, how they can do it better or how we can do it better in to kind of communicate in the way that the brain picks up and understands?
Yeah, I would say one of the most foundational concepts to understand, and one that you can really start experimenting and testing with easily right away, is called framing, which is essentially how you say something matters much more than what you are actually saying. And I like to give an example of, say, you are going to the grocery store, you're going to make spaghetti tonight, it's time to get some ground beef or turkey or whatever you would want for that. And you go and you see that there's one stack that's labeled as 90% fat free. The one next to it is labeled as 10% fat. Which one sounds better? And do you feel inclined to want to buy? And having talked about this on many presentations to hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people around the world, everybody, vast majority, says 90% fat free sounds better. And they would want to pick up that one. And it's the same. Logically, we know it's the same, but your brain hears it very differently. You know, we say like, ooh, I haven't been able to get to the gym in like a year. 10% fat, where's that going? Whereas right. 90% fat free, you say, oh, what a lovely decision I'm making for my family. That's so healthy. It feels different, even though it's exactly the same thing. And so keeping that in mind where, you know, you get numbers on a output data report, and then you're trying to communicate them, or you're putting them into marketing messaging and thinking, wow, everybody should just get that. I like to say should is a four-letter word here at the Brainy Business. So the way that you say it matters. An example being, you know, I have a client that is a financial institution. They were super excited about a new rewards checking account, and they wanted to have their billboards. We're all going to say you earn 1.26% APY on up to $25,000 in balances. Was like the like slogan or whatever for their campaign, to which said, let's not do that. Even for people who work in financial services, that just doesn't mean much to you. And right. So instead, we reframed that message to say, did your checking account pay you $315 last year? You can very quickly read that and say, no, it didn't. Right. And hey, who's doing that? Because I want in on this. Yeah. And 315 is just, you know, the 1.26 times 25,000. It's just a reframe of that same information, but it has a completely different result. And they ended up seeing 60% increase in month over month checking account openings with an existing buy they were already planning to do. So saying things a little bit differently and using those behavioral concepts in the right way can help you to have a huge impact without necessarily having to spend more money.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, it's there's been many examples. They're all around us. I mean, the people that sell the most are not like, for instance, like just look at fast food chains. I mean, it's not the healthiest that is the most successful or anything like that. But it's all like in a lot of these levers, like that different brands use and different strategies. And speaking of that, what are some levers that people can use and can play with when they're outlining their strategy and trying to make the most of this, of the behavioral aspects of things and how people like respond to things?
Another concept that is really impactful and one you can start kind of playing with pretty easily is called anchoring and adjustment. And so for that, knowing there's a lot of value and power in the numbers that you put out there. And when you're creating messaging, you know, potentially feel like it doesn't matter that much or it's kind of arbitrary. I like to talk about a study that was done in a grocery store and they had two different end cap displays. One says Snickers bars buy them for your freezer. The other says Snickers bars buy 18 for your freezer, of which most of us can agree 18 is a lot of Snickers and probably not what most of us are buying. And so if you were creating those campaigns, you potentially think, like this is an arbitrary number. Somebody's going to ask where I came up with it, but them is 100 and people get as many as they want. It's unlimited. And so you would logic your way into using that more generic piece and think it probably doesn't make that big of a difference. But it was a 38% increase in sales when you had the number 18 instead of the word them and everything else was exactly the same. And so knowing that the process, you know, them is kind of a fancy word for zero in this case. And so like maybe you pick up two or something. Whereas if it's 18, it get that subconscious filter saying like, wait, are we buying Snickers wrong? Have we been doing something? You know, maybe it's your conscious a little differently.
Right.
And you say, hey, I'm way better than everybody else. I don't need 18 Snickers. I'll just get six. And we see we're coming right that way down. So another thing that's happening is it slightly reframes the question that's being asked underlying just from changing that single number. So when you have the word them, really the question you're asking people is, do you want Snickers? Whereas with 18, the implied question is, how many do you want to buy? And it changes that entire buying experience just from a tiny little change, again, making a really big difference.
Yeah, that is amazing. That is amazing that that can trigger in a person, like even like they start selling themselves. That's been a way.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Melina, I know we could talk about this probably for much, much longer than we typically have. But is there something that you wanted to share for today's episode that didn't come up in this conversation so far?
I would just say that there are so many amazing things happening within the brain and being able to learn about your own self. I like to share this information in a way that it is helping people to be more thoughtful about their own experiences as a consumer, as well as going in and applying the information for brands and businesses and knowing that it's about nudging behavior. That's a term that we use in behavioral science, that if you're forcing people or manipulating, right. It's not behavioral.
It's important to make that difference.
That's what we call sludge or shoves instead of a nudge. And so to make it to where you can help people to find the best options for them and be open to that buying experience and being happier about the things that they get, feeling really good about it. There's so much value that comes from properly applied behavioral economics, both for the consumer and for the business. And that is the way that I teach it in the book and with my students and through my podcast. You know, it's really just about understanding the brain, yourself and others in the way that you communicate better. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'm glad you draw that distinction and you do, you know, make sure that people understand there's a difference between that and manipulation. So important keyword right there.
Yes.
So Melina, how can people stay in touch with you, follow you? I know you have the book coming up. You have a very successful podcast and anything you share, of course, we can always share in print in writing so people can just click on it so they don't have to memorize.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you wanted to find me on the socials, I'm The Brainy Biz everywhere, B-I-Z. So you can find me there or connect just with Melina Palmer on LinkedIn. And then on my website, thebrainybusiness.com, you can find the podcast. You can find the book, What Your Customer Wants and Can't Tell You. And also there on the site, we have it set up that anyone can get the first chapter for free. So you can see, is this what I'm looking for? Do I like that? Really, if you hear me talking right now and you're interested, that's how it reads in the book. But yeah, so thebrainybusiness.com is a great way to find all of that.
Awesome. And I love the name, by the way, The Brainy Business.
Thank you.
I'm happy that you found it, that it wasn't gone already, that someone was thinking.
Well, originally I just wanted Brainy Business was what it was going to be. And that URL was taken. No one was using it, but I couldn't
get it. Yeah, someone has squatter probably.
I know. So we ended up with a the on it, but it's good. It's worked out.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, congratulations on the podcast, the book, and all your success and more success to come. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Listeners, this concludes the episode. Please be on the lookout for future ones and feel free to listen to previous ones on the SB Checks blog or your favorite podcast listening application or device. Until next time, be kind and be well.